I want as much tax-free income as I could possibly get, right? Who wouldn't? Right? Our listeners, for sure, 100%. You want as much tax-free income as you can possibly get.
This is a long-term strategy. One of Nelson's principles is think long range. You got to think long range. This isn't, you know, if you do this for 3 years and quit, it's going to be an expensive mistake. But if you think long range and you say, I'm in this as a way of life going forward, you can't lose.
Properly designed and properly capitalized will be and can be the ultimate place through which to get passive income from.
If you're a pilot or high income W-2 earner and you want to add some guarantees and some certainty to your portfolio, because right now you have a lot of that tax deferred, you know, qualified plan wealth that you're building up, and it's going to be there for you, but you want something that's going to augment your retirement where you can grab tax-free capital when you need it, where you could stop taking money out of the market when it's down and instead come over here and take tax-free income to give the market time to rebound, then this is for you.
Only the wealthy seem to remember how to use this product. You can change that for your family right now.
Well, welcome back to the second part of Why You Shouldn't Become Your Own Banker. If you didn't see part one, go check it out here. And I hope you enjoyed part two. Here we go. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. I'm going to say something that might shock you. Many people listening right now should not become their own banker. And if that's you, if you're listening and you just got a little defensive, it's probably you that shouldn't become your own banker. So let's dive into that a bit.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm telling the truth, man. This isn't for everybody, right? Oh. So this is it's inclusive, meaning everybody can do this, but it's exclusive, meaning it's a very small group of people that really should do this, who will have the discipline, who will have the discipline to save, be responsible, play honest banker, and continue to educate themselves year over year, you know, and not hit arrival syndrome. You know, because if you do this correctly, it's a great thing. If you don't, you should still buy whole life insurance, but more as a death benefit play because you care about your family.
Sure.
But you shouldn't become your own banker.
No question. I agree. And, you know, taking loans, we often say if you are going to take a life insurance cash value policy loan, you should have made provisions to repay that, whether that's you did an investment or you financed a vehicle, financed college or maybe primary school tuition or something. But if you're going to take a loan against your policy, of course, you should pay back the loan. You should never take a loan. If you wouldn't take a loan from a third party lender, then you shouldn't take a loan from your life insurance cash value system. So you are the borrower, the loan officer, and the bank owner all at the same time. But that doesn't mean you're going to steal the peas. If you don't know what steal the peas means, read Nelson's book. But you should replenish that capital so you can use it again. And if you're repaying loans as an honest banker, you're making the company that you're part owner of profitable, and they're going to guarantee the collateral. They're going to pay you a dividend, right? You want to take more loans in the future. Like, all these things work in concert. And I often say this too, when people are like, well, I don't have to repay it, right? Like, well, you should. It's kind of like taking money out of your savings account. Are you not going to put money back into your savings account?
Right.
Well, no, of course I'm going to put it back. Well, this is no different.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lifestyle of, hey, I'm going to fund, I'm going to capitalize my policy when I take a loan. I'm going to continue capitalizing my policies, and I'm going to repay that loan on whatever schedule suits me. Typically, what I find, most clients repay their loans as quickly as possible because it's a lot of fun when you can repay a loan and that money is not gone forever, like with a typical financing, you know, with a bank. If you repay the bank quicker, great. You made them, they got their money back quicker, and you got rid of your money quicker.
Yeah.
When you repay your life insurance loans, you're simply just refilling your bucket of available cash to borrow from again. So, you know, it's not a short-term strategy. It's a long-term strategy. If you need instant gratification, we talk to a lot of, you know, I'm going to rag on you real estate investors. a little bit who are listening.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys want, hey, I want to put this much in a policy and I want 100% of it available tomorrow so I can take it right back out and go buy the next property with. It sounds like you need a checking account, pal. This is not a short-term arbitrage play. This is a long-term strategy. One of Nelson's principles is think long range. You got to think long range. This isn't, you know, if you do this for 3 years and quit, it's going to be an expensive mistake. But if you think long range, you say, I'm in this as a way of life going forward, you can't lose.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, there are ways to keep policy designs very, very liquid, but it's not going to be dollar for dollar in year one. I'm sorry. So you're buying,
right,
you are buying a life insurance product. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the rise in cash value can happen early, but if it happens too early, then we run into other problems. We kind of lose the favorable tax treatment of whole life insurance if we do that. So there's a balance, and a balanced approach, I think, is the way to go. So you're not going to meet all of your financing needs practicing the infinite banking concept tomorrow, right? This is a lifelong process. It's going to take the average man 20 years to do it. So anyway.
Yeah. And part of that lifelong process is paying premium every single year, you know, because you want to continue capitalizing your policy every single year. It's not a one and done. I mean, you can do that, but again, you're going to lose the favorable tax treatment it enjoys if you just try to do a single premium paid up policy. But it's an ongoing thing that you want to plan to do every year for the rest of your life. Oh, and guess what? Every year gets better than the last. So when your premium comes due next year, like, I'm more excited every year to pay a premium because it's building more and more for me. Yeah. And it's building more than what I'm paying in at this point on most of my policies.
So if that's you, if you're a short-term thinker and you're like, you know what, Paul, this looks great. I would love to open up a policy with you guys and do this, but I just can't get past this like short-term liquidity crunch. And I'll say in return, you know, saying back to you, I'll say, well, what if I design the policy like this? Does this get us closer to being satisfied with, oh, wow, I can both own whole life insurance that has significant death benefit protecting my family, and I can have liquidity to do this next deal? And my answer is going to be most likely yes, right? So if that's you, this is still for you. Even though this, as Dave was saying earlier, this is a long-range strategy. That is where it shines over your lifetime, over your child's lifetime, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, in that perpetual motion and family legacy. The short-term plays can be done, but we'll never know unless you reach out. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, now let's talk about, we talked about who should not become their own banker, but who should become their own banker. I mean, we have lots and lots of examples of people who should become their own banker. You know, it's an array of our client base. Business owners who need that recurring capital for opportunities, for business expansion, for emergencies, whatever comes up. Real estate investors, I see too often real estate investors are just, they can't look past the next deal. They don't have a long range mindset. And you can change that,
and
right? Read the book. You can change that. And as soon as you can start thinking beyond that and think, you know, next year, the year after, 10 years down the road, what are you building? What exactly are you building? What's the end game? Once you get there, this is a great thing for real estate investors who have a lot of cash coming in, a lot of cash going out all the time, right? Capture it.
Yes. And we are real estate investors, Dave, and me. We have a lot of them in our community as well. So if we can practice IBC and be real estate investors at the same time, it's not the only thing we do, but we are real estate investors, then you can too. If you're an operator or whatever, it doesn't really matter. It can be done. And frankly, it should be done because your business will be a lot more profitable practicing IBC than not practicing IBC.
Absolutely. You know, if you're a pilot and or another high income W-2 earner, and you want to add some guarantees and some certainty to your portfolio, because right now you have a lot of that tax deferred, you know, qualified plan wealth that you're building up, and it's going to be there for you. But you want something that's going to augment your retirement, where you can grab tax-free capital when you need it, where you could stop taking money out of the market when it's down and instead come over here and take tax-free income to give the market time to rebound, then this is for you.
Yep. If you're a parent, I've been running into this a lot lately, just in my local area here, but are you contributing to a 529 or other college savings, quotation marks, type plan? If that's you, and you're friends with me on Facebook, go check out my Facebook. I just blogged about that today, and I talk about it all the time. But if you are, you really need to ask yourself, why am I putting money in that type of thing? I frankly think, and it's my opinion, but I think it's objectively true, the behavior is correct for saving for college or higher education or whatever, capitalizing. But the vehicle is just not great. So if you're interested in seeing a better way, get on our calendar and we'll show you the way where you can still finance college and keep all of that money in your family at the same time.
Yep. And build an additional asset while you're at it, which is, you know, a permanent death benefit that's going to continue to grow every single year as long as you live. So, and then finally, this is really just for people who value control. You want more control. And you may be a little afraid of it. And I was, man, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, I was a little afraid to control my own capital because I didn't think I had the knowledge, the expertise, the discipline. So I started where I was at, and little by little, man, it becomes easier and easier and then becomes second nature. So, it's some, like I said, it's inclusive. Anybody can do this, but not everybody should. Yeah. Mostly it requires a lifetime commitment. You know, it's not arbitrage. It's not get rich quick. It's create wealth for certain, but certainly not get rich quick. And then, you know, let's talk about asset manager mindset. You know, Nelson likes to refer to retirees as, you're not retired. You're an asset manager now. Like, that is your full job when you stop actively working for income and now you're just managing your assets. This, man, if you start that today while you're still actively earning income and you start managing your own assets, your own capital today, it's going to be such an easy transition when you're older, because people don't change, you know, overnight.
No,
you don't go from, I'm going to let somebody else manage all my money and then all of a sudden I'm going to manage it. No, it's a gradual process. So you need kind of a run up to do that. So you can start that today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, why not have that just reliable, safe pool of capital? You know, it is the ultimate. You know, Nelson says in the book, you know, dividend paying whole life insurance, you know, properly designed and properly capitalized will be and can be the ultimate place through which to get passive income from, right? And he demonstrates it in the book in several different examples. And that's part of my plan, right, is to not have a market correlated. I want as much tax-free income as I could possibly get, right? Who wouldn't?
Right.
Right. Our listeners, for sure, 100%. You want as much tax-free income as you can possibly get. You're not going to be like, oh, I don't want that much. Please, no more tax-free income. I want you to tax, you know, at least half of it.
Well, that's the great thing.
Nobody says that.
If that's you, Uncle Sam's not going to stop you from sending them an extra check. Feel free.
You can totally donate. Yeah,
you can totally donate.
Nope.
But you build this, the reward you get liquidity without liquidation. You get uninterrupted compound growth. You get tax advantages. So essentially tax-free income in later years or whenever you need it. And you get this growing death benefit that's guaranteed to last one day longer than you, that now you get to set up the next generation at a place where maybe you finished. They get to start there with this giant income tax-free windfall coming their way. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in a position like that to receive a giant tax income tax-free windfall. That'd be amazing. I know it's not going to happen because I know the situation of my parents.
especially if the groundwork has been laid, right? The education has been there. The next generation respects and treats capital as it should be. They have adopted the system in their own lives. Because let's face it, I'm hoping that this wealth transfer occurs when I'm in my 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Great quality of life, rapid decline, die in my sleep. See you later, right? Kids are in their 60s at that point. They might have grandchildren as well. There's probably going to be great-grandchildren at that point. So anyway, it would be nice to see that kind of perpetual motion that Nelson talks about in the generation of age classes, equal distribution of age classes page section of the book, where he explains that just once it's created, it's very easy to sustain. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Great. Let's bring it home, man. You know, whole life insurance, it's not an investment. So you can't compare it to a qualified plan, a brokerage account. Really, the only thing you can really compare it to is a savings account. You know, everything else, that's an investment. This is capitalization.
Yeah, I mean, this is the foundation of your financial house. I look at my foundation, we built on a crawl space. I kind of wish I had done a poured foundation so I could have a basement, so I could have like a giant vault down there or something, but I didn't. But anyway, this is your foundation. You want your foundation to be strong. You don't want the people pouring it, you know, the company, right, administering it to be properly trained and to be good stewards of their craft. And these mutual companies all of them are well over 100 years old. Some are almost 200 years old at this point. And they have paid dividends every single year for that amount of time. So think about what's happened. The Great Depression, multiple world wars, multiple economic downturns, depressions, whatever. And they've been a bedrock of, you know, American financials for generations now. And unfortunately, only the wealthy seem to remember how to use this product. You can change that for your family right now.
Yeah. And here's a final thought. Don't become your own banker if you're not ready to think like a banker. I mean, if you want someone else to manage all of your money, that's fine. You know, if that's you, that's fine. This isn't for you. But if you want control, if you want access to your capital, if you want tax advantages and the ability to recycle your money, use the same dollar over and over and over while earning on it for the rest of your life, then the infinite banking concept might just be what you're looking for.
I love it. You sold me. Where can I buy some?
Let's meet right after this. I'll send you my Zoom link. Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out on thewealthwarehousepodcast.com. We got a free course on there. You can find Becoming Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash on there. And then you can find our scheduling links and schedule just a free introductory call with either me or Paul, whoever you like the best. Take your pick, but, you know, don't hurt our feelings. And don't everybody go to Paul. You will definitely hurt my feelings.
They seem to.
Yeah, maybe some of you should come to my schedule because I think Paul's getting a little overloaded in his, you know, his retirement schedule with the doctor's appointment on Wednesday at 2 p.m.
Right, that's right. You know, and one last thing you can do, share this with one of your buddies or family members or your Uncle Bob that's obsessed with return on investment. That's the only thing they think about. Share this with them. Share the book with them. Buy them a book for their next birthday or something. And say, hey, what do you think about this? This resonates with me. And it's not about rates of return. It's about how you finance the things of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so get involved in the Infinite Banking Concept community. Find a practitioner near you on the NNI. Reach out to us directly. We work with anybody. As long as you're disciplined and you have the right mindset and you want to control your own capital, you can be part of the Wealth Warehouse community and become an infinite banker. Yeah.
You know, remember, investments make you money. The banking system gives you control. You know, the wealthy choose control every single time, and now you know why. Hey, until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.